The whole world watches what the US does. This is the time of terrifying beginning for our fragile earth. We are one body in Christ. But right here, right now, more importantly, we are one body of earthlings, creatures of flesh that see and hear, we witness. The chants of crowds at rallies or at protests, the wail of sirens, the fires of Los Angeles, and the snows of New Orleans. We witness our own bodies at this time. Are our phones more sticky now? With each new piece of news, how much more important does it feel to participate in, to witness the online crowd, to tap our feet to the beat of the likes, the comments, the responses? It is a human thing to be a part of a body, either online or in person. Writer and liturgist Cole Arthur Riley writes in her book, This Here Flesh, that, quote, Audre Lorde said, without community, there is no liberation. Without community, there is no liberation. There is no promised land without a multitude. You think you can get there alone, and maybe by some rare chance you do. But what will become of the promise when it is collapsed into loneliness? Who is going to drink all that milk and honey with you? Unquote. In today's reading from Nehemiah, a new way of community starts. In the book of Nehemiah, the priest Ezra starts the tradition that we have just enacted of reading scripture out loud in a group. This group of people is not segregated by age or gender or race. It is simply anybody who can get something out of the reading. Our beginnings and our endings are important. When we teach students to skim articles or books, we ask them to close read the first and the last paragraphs, for how we narrate the endings and the beginnings reflect and refract the whole narrative. Likewise, Ezra chooses scripture to mark the beginning. Ezra is regathering and reestablishing the community after their return from several generations of exile in Babylon. Here, in New York City, we have all witnessed the beginning of President Trump's second term. This week, Episcopal bishops have all used scripture and been very clear about how they mark this moment. I'm sure some of us here are really aware of Bishop Marianne Buddy's exhortation to President Trump to have mercy on those who are scared. She preached about migrants and queer kids especially, and that to be unified, that is, to bring our whole selves, we need to bring our whole selves and we need to protect each other. Nobody should intentionally make somebody else feel less than. Nobody should ever intentionally make anybody feel less than. And when we inevitably will make somebody feel less than because we are human, because we live in a world built on an economy of putting people down to raise one's own self up, it is our call as Christians to repent, which means to turn around, to make amends and return to a path where our actions are guided by Jesus' ministry, whose faith was molded by the practice of reading scripture to the whole community, not just to an elite crowd, but to everybody who could possibly get something from the words. Even here at St. Lydia's, I am guessing that we are not all alike in our political convictions. If we get into deeper conversations, we will find that while we align on some things, on some very important things, we will differ on others. Our experience molds us. The experience of a biblically accurate angel with all of its blinking eyes does not know the sound of voices raised in song. Our diversity means that we are one body, not because we are the same, but we are one body because we are in relationship to each other and through our shared stories and through sharing our stories. This week, while I was on a clergy call with the Episcopal Bishop of New York, he said that we live not in dogma or ideology, but in relationship and story. And this is where we all align in practice at St. Lydia's. We live in story here. What story in scripture grounds you in your values? What story places your bare feet on the grass when the winds of chaos vie for your attention? For me, friends, it is the road to Emmaus. How after the resurrection, Jesus' friends, who talk to this guy on the road, only recognize him when he breaks the bread after they sit down to eat. For me, when the news gets too fast, when people and movements call me in many directions, and I want to be in six places all at once, I get back to my core values. I get back to the fact that my faith is real to me when I know Christ in the breaking of the bread. What story from scripture is the story of your faith? What story do you want to tell others, to tell them about who you are as a Christian? Although there is officially a separation between church and state in these here United States, they were made by Christians for Christians. Scripture is going to be invoked by many people who possibly are not even aware that they are doing so, and by many people who are very aware they are doing so and know what they are doing. We on the more progressive side of Christianity may say that we are more rational and shy away from bold religious declarations, but I encourage you to adorn yourselves in faith. Jesus was a good Jew who went to synagogue every Sabbath. The priest Ezra before him made sure that his people were grounded in scripture. Our spiritual ancestors knew the power and the blessing that it is to be connected through scripture. What is the story from our spiritual ancestors where you see yourself and your journey celebrated? Do not be afraid. Whisper this story to yourself before you go to bed. Tell this story as you wake up and have your coffee as it warms your hands. Let this story bless all the interactions that you will have. Do not be afraid. The word of the Lord is for everybody. All genders, all ages, all accents, go and tell your word.